You need a great opener, like somehow we're adults. Do do.
We could record that right now.
Some kind of like.
We could record that right now.
Everybody, be quiet.
Somehow we're adults.
Somehow we're adults. All right. Yeah, you better get that
you
in.
You need a fucking.
My bad. My bad. My bad.
Was he bad about that the last time?
What do you think?
Adrian? Oh my god. What do you think? Horrible, dude. Are we starting like right now?
Yeah. Let's
go. Dude. This is the best book we read so far.
Really? It is pretty good.
Yeah. I give this book like a solid 10, dude.
Damn, dude.
Yeah,
damn.
I'm sorry. I'm just going
to
start out.
I'm so honored. I picked the first book to get a 10. I didn't give it a 10.
But I'm going to start out with this podcast that this book is a 10 and everybody should read it no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't think it's a 10.
Damn.
Fuck you.
Damn.
It's all right. A good book.
Are we taking the headphones off and are you guys going to go fight now? I got to pull out the mats, dog. No.
All right, what do you give it, Juan? I want to see your rating on this.
Okay, let's start right for people who aren't watching, people who are just listening. We read a book called Blue Ocean Strategy, How to Create Uncontested Market Space and Make the Competition Irrelevant. This is by W. Chan Kim and Renee Morbon, something like that. I don't know. But it's called Blue Ocean Strategy. Great book.
Amazing book. Fantastic book.
Adrian gives it 10 out of 10.
Yeah, good read.
So so if we jump right into ratings, since Adrian didn't want to wait till the end of the podcast like we normally do, but it's whatever. Yeah, you're getting your training wheels back on since you weren't here last one. Yep.
You see how they do me? They give me a fucking bootleg one, and bootleg. Then they got this badass.
Yeah, we got the name written ones.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, that's what you get, bro. Your punishment.
What the fuck?
Shit. Oh, that one is better.
Adrian's.
Fuck you. Motherfucker.
Stop stealing. Don't steal Juan's drink, bro. He slurped that
stealing
shit, too.
Stealing my shit.
This nigga act like we didn't drink off the same cups, like, for years, bro.
You guys act like we weren't just kissing outside, but whatever.
This nigga act like
they don't know it. They don't know it. I know him more than anybody. I ain't positive.
What is a pause button?
Brother. All right. So, no, I thought this book was really good,
I love
too.
It when you pause.
I thought this book was really good.
Stealing my gummies, too.
Yeah, I almost finished that whole bag.
You might as well have them all. Shit.
Yeah. Put it right here in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah. What was your rating, Juan?
Mm.
Or how about I go since you guys are eating into the microphones
now? I did learn a lot about this because a lot of times, especially like in our community too, Plant City wants to compete with everybody.
Yeah, hell yeah. Oh, yeah.
But this thing was, and you know, I reflect a lot, so it's not so much like, oh, I wanted to start my business. I wanted to start it because that's something I wanted to do. That's usually the first thing that like goes through you when you're about to start a business. You're like, I believe in this path. But what happens is sometimes people will be like, oh, you got to do this and stuff, like, and then you're now trying to like please other people when it was your thing to begin with,
right?
So then eventually you just have like a competitive mindset and don't think of it like, oh, you're better than everybody else. You have to think to yourself like, this is what I want to do. I'm gonna create it in my own point of view, and whoever thinks it's great, like, so be it, but this is what's making me happy, so it's progressing you to do your own thing. Yeah. But you got to do it with confidence, too. And it really helped me think more optimistic on other things. So it wasn't so much like, oh, I'm going to do this and stuff like that. Like with the previous book, you're not trying to do anything for recognition. You're kind of doing it for contribution to your community. And then from that, I mean, I'm not giving it a 10. But I'll give it like a good 7. It's a pretty good book.
Nice, nice. Okay, so my rating on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say the book is a 7.5. It's definitely a book that you shouldn't just read once. Like, this is something like you have to keep that information at like the front of your mind in business and what you're doing. I think it's something like basically like every 2 years you should reread this book because like make sure that you're on track because like.
I was actually going to read this book again.
Yeah.
It's I didn't buy the hardcover, but I'm going to buy the hardcover just to have it.
Yeah. Bro, if you the graphs that are on this, it's
well worth
it. Because like, it helps put a visual to it.
Yeah, and I didn't get to see the graphs, but I looked them up as the audio was going because I felt like I was missing out. That's why I'm going to buy the book because I felt like I missed out on a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But review. Why did you choose this book, Ryan?
Okay, so you're just skipping around. Let me finish my rating, bro. I said you have to read this every two years or so because you want to be constantly thinking about blue oceans. Because one of the things they talk about in this book is, so a blue ocean means that there's not a lot of competition. in a market space, yeah. right? So, like, examples they give are, like, Apple. They give examples.
Electronics, you know.
IBM. Oh,
I got my notes for here.
Yeah, yeah. So, basically, this is my brief overview. The book is about creating a blue ocean instead of a red ocean. A red ocean is a business and a business competing with already existing competition in slim margins. Mm-hmm. So it's basically where there's like cutthroat competition in that area.
Yeah.
Blue Oceans is creating new market space with no competition and creating unprecedented value in that market, like a new thing. Mm-hmm. It might not be a new thing, but it's a new value to the people that are purchasing that system or whatever it is.
And eventually, like throughout the years, if you do that, some competition eventually comes through.
Right. It becomes a red ocean.
It becomes a red ocean.
Blue oceans become red oceans. So, which is crazy. Like when I read that, when I heard the guy that was segueing to how to found about it, I heard about it on Patrick Bet David. Mm-hmm. You guys know who PBD mm-hmm. is? Patrick Bet David podcast. He's a big business dude on social media and does a podcast too.
Not the guy that's always like in suits and ties.
Yeah. Yeah. Indian looking guy. Yeah. Yeah. And he recommended it. I saw on a clip on Instagram that he was recommending that book. Anytime mm-hmm. I see a book recommendation from somebody who I respect, I like stop mm-hmm. and I like look into it. And he said like that was bar none the best book that he recommended. So I was like, damn, if someone says that who reads that this is the best book, especially somebody who's like they do a lot of business content, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, drop what you're doing, write that one down. And I noted that one.
Well, I gave this a 10 just because of my business.
Yeah.
And what I relate to it. Yeah. So I'm really trying to, by this next year, I want to start a barbershop that has some shit that no other barbershop has. So that's why I really fucked with this book.
Yeah. 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 It definitely was like a right time thing.
Yeah, bro. Definitely a good time to read this book.
Yeah. So I like the examples that it goes over in the books. That was my favorite highlight. So I saw it on Patrick Bet David's when he posted a clip talking about this being like his number one book. Mm-hmm. I notated it and I like researched and I saw it was funny enough. Like after I notated that, I saw several other people who had mentioned the same book and I was like, mm-hmm. that was weird. And I was like, I feel like I should be watching or reading that book. And that's why I'd been waiting for it to be my turn patiently. Cause I'd had this thing bookmarked for fucking like 3 months.
I could tell.
Yeah. I was excited about this one. Yeah. I was like on the next podcast. I was like, this is the book. I'm not waiting. I'm not telling them. We're doing it right now. This is the book. I already had it.
You did. Which is why I got the hardcover. Cause when we were flipping through it,
a lot of graphs.
There was a lot of graphs. So
yeah. Yeah, it's definitely hard to listen to an audiobook of that. Because like, a lot of that stuff, like I had to read and then go to the graph and then reread.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely what that's why another reason why I think you should have to reread this book.
Yeah, why I'm going to reread it again, though, because I felt like I didn't – like I understood a lot of it, but I didn't get the full grasp because I had to go through my audiobook, then on internet to see what he was talking about and then
– rewind.
Yeah, so it was just a lot.
So my favorite likes of the book, I like how it takes an easily stated concept and breaks it down and how it systematically can work on achieving it and mm-hmm. then continuously achieve it.
Yeah.
Because like that's one thing. It's not just saying like, oh, you need to be different. It's like, okay, everybody knows their business needs to be different, but it actually breaks it down. Like the freaking the graph mm-hmm. was one of the things I wanted to mention too. It's the – what did they call them? They called them – the strategy canvas.
Yeah.
You remember the strategy canvas one?
Not so much.
That's the one with like the little lines and you kind of like mark what the average competitor does. And then you mark what, you know, like what is, like they did one with Southwest Airlines mm-hmm. and compared to the other airlines and stuff like that and how it was adding unprecedented value. And then
The examples on this book were really badass.
Yeah,
and it's like easy enough for anybody to understand too. Yeah. So that's why I really like this book.
The strategy canvases are amazing because it makes you like think like, okay, what is everybody in this industry doing?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. and then you like you graph the things that they're doing poorly, graph the things mm-hmm. that they do well, graph the things that they do mediocre, and then you look at like, okay, why are these things low? Why are these mm-hmm. ones high? And then what can we do to shift that? And then how can we price point that in? And it was just crazy.
And the cool things about the graph, too, they're so simple in a way where, like, you look at them and, like, wow, it's this easy.
Like, why would nobody think about that?
It's fucking easy to do it. Yeah.
Okay. So for that part, once I passed that part, right, that's when I was like, okay, boom. I would see how, like, the bartending industry is, especially here in Plant City. And I was like, okay, like, I get it. You know, people are just trying to make a quick buck. I'm not really, like... I'm not sure what happened. It's like at first I was very like competitive, wanting to be like this and that. And like the first year I got some gig all the way in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And now I got like I think 4 years remaining on this Tennessee bartending license there. And then it was like, oh, damn, like I was actually doing that. And then when I came back here and I don't know what it was. Like, it was like other bartenders in the surrounding area. And I guess I wasn't like again with like the whole Mexican culture thing. It's like, I'm not saying I'm probably not the best choice of it, because, you know, I served in the military. I'm pretty much like a whitewashed Mexican, even though I'm more Mexican than, you know, Adrian.
Yeah, right. People don't know. We had an argument right before here on which one of you is more Mexican.
If y'all really want to settle this, put it in the comments below, because I'm going to take this and put it on my Instagram. Who's more Mexican? If you know Juan, and if you know me, there's a lot of people that know both of us. Who's more Mexican between both of us?
How about all three of us? No, I'm just kidding.
No, you married a Mexican.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you did marry a Mexican. Yeah. I'm not
Mexican, bro. I mean, yeah. I think I would be in a different life.
And you need to get your hands off our woman.
Nah, bro.
Nah, but like with that, I was like, okay.
And
what
the
is
food, bro?
Sorry. Yeah. But with that, I was seeing how everybody's pretty much going, and then I started thinking more about like the customer and stuff. So a lot of times when these people like want like a bartender for, you know, their upcoming gig, they don't know what they want. And that goes with every customer there. If you go to the Mexican community, they all just think margaritas, you know, just like the cocktails that are already in their head. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with white clients, you know. They're with white clients, it's like, hey, I can introduce you into, you know, this Mexican drink I'm working on is basically just tequila and pineapple with tajin rim and stuff, make it look all pretty and stuff. And they'll be like, oh, this is amazing. Like, what is this, like, sweet thing around? You know, like that chamoy thing. Yeah. And then they're all like, oh, wow. Like, I've never had that. Usually they get, like, a salted rim or something. Yeah. But it's, like, something new to them. Yeah. So it's like, when I'm doing, like, these gigs.
I love culture.
Yeah. So, like, today I was talking to a client.
And then they end up being the most racist.
Bro, they don't even season their food, and you season their drink, dude. Their blind mind is blown, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, even with the client I had today, I had to talk to, because of the new strategies I'm trying to do, it's more of like, oh, you're about to book me? Hey, great. But you want to know what? Why don't you come over to my house? I'm going to show you, like, the drinks that I'll be making for you. And if you like it, hey, you know.
We'll do business.
We'll add it there. If you don't like it, you know, it is what it is. More chances that they're willing to, like, actually drive to you, to your house, to have a drink with you. It's like, all right, I kind of got them. I kind of explained, like, all right, this is how much alcohol we're going to have to buy for your thing. I even show them on, like, the Total Wine & More website. I'm like, look, we're just going to select all you need here. I'll hit add to cart, and this is their price. So they see, like, you know, the price, like, of what they're about to spend on. And then I'll tell them, like, hey, this is my service fee. I've already on Amazon, you know, you calculate all that up, and the customer's there, and I tell them beforehand, like, hey, this is a meeting. It shouldn't take more than 30 minutes. So they come there, we discuss everything, every comment, questions, or concerns that they have. I write that down on, like, this notebook to be like, okay, this is what I need to get. This guy wants Zephyr Hill water, like, stuff like that. And then I'll be like, okay, like, we're good to go. Like, I got to see them. They talked all their questions to me in the book. So now the next gig is in next week. It sucks because it's, you know, it's Saturday. It's WrestleMania. And I'm missing it. But my brother was like, you know, we'll miss it together. So my brother might probably, like, help out with me.
Nice.
And, you know, after that, we'll go watch it back at the house or something. But, you know, with that, I'm trying to, that got me thinking, like, what other bartenders are doing that, like, in my area? And it's more of, like, if you were to call a bartender, they'll be like, oh, how many people, you know, how many hours? And that's how I used to, like, do my pricing and stuff. But I wasn't really engaging with the customer anymore. So I wasn't creating this long-term relationship later on. So now that, I've only done it to two people so far, like, so, like, now that's, like,
changed how you've done your business.
It's changed, yeah. And with that, you know, I'm applying that to...
Because you're not trying to do anymore what is normal in your industry. You're trying to, like, do something that's abnormal and that it adds value to your consumers.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, it's, like, when I bring these drinks there, like, I already have in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm about to bartend to a bunch of white people. It's like Jack and Coke, you know.
Most popular consumer is white. Is that what you're trying to navigate towards? Or
no, it's like whatever customer I get, if it's Hispanic or if it's white. I haven't really had many I don't think I've had, like, someone like black American. Like, I haven't done one of those yet. But, like, I've done bartending for some a white people party, Hispanics, you know, stuff like that. I've done that. So, you know, you start to see like, okay, with this customer, let me try and make something. So a lot of times when they get drunk later on in that night, they'll be like, hey, man, like, make me something that, you know, that's not on the menu. Mm-hmm. So my go-to drink is always tequila and pineapple. Mm-hmm. I'll probably add like a tahini rim to it. And they'll be like, oh, my God, this is so fucking amazing. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, man, I drink it all the time. And I do. So. Yeah.
What about you, Adrian? What was the likes about this book that you think you're going to use?
Well, for me, what I've really got from this book is, well, I already told you before the mic or before the podcast that we started, that I'm going to get a whole new commercial building. And I got a couple teasers in there, but I don't want to fully disclose
hold it close. Hold your cards close to your chest.
You're
wanting to, you know, buy your own building.
Yeah. I want to buy my own building, and I do want to have 15 barbers, but there's going to be another element to that when I do open it. Nice. There's another barbershop that kind of has that blue ocean to it, and it's...
You don't have to shout them out.
No?
just tell us what they do. You can if you want to. I don't care.
For every haircut they get, or for, let's say you go in there, right? The first thing they ask you, do you want a drink? And they give you any type of liquor, you know? So that's like kind of something I want to do, but except the liquor.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, that's basically it, man. That's the only thing I really have my mindset to right now. Because for a barbershop, there's only so much you can do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like I can fucking put like...
Bro, they mention a barbershop in the book.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So yeah, like a Japanese one where it's like they made it cheaper and more efficient. It's cheaper because they only do these many different haircuts. And if you want something custom, you can ask for it, but it's more.
Yeah.
And then you basically like walk in, it's like ordering it from a menu. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I thought that was kind of cool.
And that's what, that same example, I kind of already have that in my barbershop.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool too. Because for my barbershop, we used to have like a whole list of like services that we do. Mm-hmm. Now there's only four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Yeah. Well, I meant like when they were talking about it in the book, from my understanding, mm-hmm. it's like you walked in and there was like pictures of haircuts.
Yeah.
And you could like order which haircut you wanted, and the barber knew exactly what to do then.
Yeah.
And they just like tailor it to that person's head. But like they cut down the like the custom, because of the lack of customization, they could get haircuts much quicker and much cheaper. So
a lot of people now, though, they kind of just open their phone and like, oh, this is what I want.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They're trying to be more, they're more creative now.
Yeah.
Like, even what I got going on, it's like a freaking mullet thingy, so it's like going all around,
and yeah, that's like a custom cut,
and I love this.
I don't get nothing regular
because that's like a burst comb over mullet,
bro. I'll be wearing this anytime in class for I'm gonna show it off shit. No, but like in class, like you can make so many styles now with the hair, it's crazy. So like I used to try to grow my long hair, I didn't like that. Then it's like I would have like the regular haircuts, but I already spent 5 years doing that in the Marine Corps, and I was like, I don't want to do that shit anymore. Waking up and shaving every day and shit. So now I'm just, I mean, I change it up, but it's starting to get hot, so I make
that. Ask Adrian. I've had the same haircut for 15 years, bro. We've changed like two things ever. Like,
yeah.
Shorter or longer on top? Oh, I don't know, bro.
And now, now he just got the beard now, I added it on.
You gotta grow the mullet.
Yeah,
because before you,
I didn't have the beard.
Yeah, my boy had a baby face, and we were doing the same cut, but without the connection to the beard.
Yeah.
Do you have to have like certain haircuts for your job too?
No.
Or no?
No.
So grow a mullet.
I don't want that.
Why not? I think you'll look badass shit.
Bro, I like what I like, Juan. I'm an old man, bro. I'm an old man, dude. I like what I like. I don't want change. Adrian be getting the same haircut forever.
I be switching it up sometimes.
You know, I got
But you're switching up like I switch it up, where it's like small changes. Not like nothing.
I mean,
crazy.
I used to have a comb over.
Yeah, but you're not. But you don't do like the long hair, crazy, like shave the sides.
Oh, but my hair don't grow like that.
Yeah, you don't do Mexican shit.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's like a urbanized white cut, bro.
It is. I fucking love it.
This what I got right now is just the skin fade all the way to the top. That's it. That's Mexican as it gets,
bro. I'm telling you, bro. Is it funny? I had a girl at jiu-jitsu the day. This is like a couple months ago after you cut my hair, and she goes, she like taps on my shoulder. I've talked to this lady like maybe one sentence of my life, you know what I mean? And she literally was like, is your barber black or Hispanic? And I was like, damn.
Got your ass.
I was like, damn. I was like, he's technically Hispanic. No, I'm just kidding. I was like, but you wouldn't know it. Look at him. No, I'm just kidding.
I get Puerto Rican a lot.
Really?
Or Russian. I got called Russian like 4 times in my life.
Bro, I'll be honest. I get white 100% of the time.
Oh, I know you do.
People think it, dude. I don't get it. I don't get it. Porque... No, I'm just kidding.
But with this book, I didn't really see it like kind of venture out too far from like Blue Oceans. It kind of just stayed there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's why I kind of liked it too, because it didn't venture off into other ideologies or anything. It was just like there. Like,
What were the dislikes of it? Because I'll start with my dislikes of the book. I thought at certain parts... It got really like term heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it got really technical.
And like I, there was multiple times where I had to like go back and reread a paragraph.
Yeah, bro.
And I was like, and I was still like, okay, like I had to like Google words sometimes because I was like, I've never used that word in a sentence. Nor
some hard ass words in here too. Yeah,
but I mean, just like it says at the bar, like at the bottom, it says Harvard Business Review Press. So I'm like, mm-hmm. these. I think both of these people were professors at Harvard.
Yep.
So it's like. To be expected, right?
Yeah,
like they're
gonna
use some words that they don't want, you know, stupid people like me to
trust me, bro. On the audio, I was like, "What the fuck?" On the audio, bro, I was just like, "All right, I gotta go redo that." Yeah. I can kind of get an idea, but I gotta go redo that.
I mean, that's why audio for books is hard for me because it's like I need focus, bro, and I can't.
This was my second time doing the audio, and it was kind of hard.
Yeah,
it was hard, but. The more I researched it on my phone, the more I was getting it on my Instagram, the more I was getting it on a whole bunch of other places. So once I saw it on my Instagram and it was popping off, where all these people were like, oh, check out this book.
Yeah.
And then like they would talk about it and it just got me more excited about the book.
Yeah, it's a good book. And then I still think it's really digestible, really easy to digest.
Yeah.
The bigger broad points. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I think this is a book you have to reread. What about you, Juan? Anything you disliked?
It's just technical terms. I mean, I'm in business school too, so like... I don't know a lot of these things. These are like things like later on in the classes and stuff. Ring. But it kind of like after reading, it's like, oh, okay, that's a different experience. Like I didn't see it that way.
Right.
And then I try to like think about it, like what would that happen if it came to me? And, you know, you just go on from it. But
what, any specific things you didn't like about the book or how it was formatted?
Well, this is the first time I actually had to read it like paperback since the David Goggins thing. So like there were times when I was just like, how do I make this go faster? I was trying to do like
100%.
I was like 20 pages a night or something like that.
Yeah. Bro, you have to be disciplined with reading. That's the thing I've noticed.
And that's the thing. And I was like, this, oh, damn. Bro,
you have to be.
I broke up the audio 30 minutes each day.
Yeah.
Because it was 6 hours. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah. So I broke it 30 minutes.
You have to, bro. Yeah. And 30 minutes is a lot, too. To a lot of, bro, that's a lot of information in 30 minutes.
I would put it on when I would go, like, be going to sleep. But like 15 minutes in, I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna stop here.
I
think for me, it's like it had to be quiet. So like I can't have like my dog just doing dog shit or like having the zoomies or out of nowhere or something.
No pun intended.
And then I'm like, god damn, like fuck. And then I come back and I'm like, shit, it was something that was already too technical.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, all right, now I got to go fucking back a page or something. Yeah. What the fuck?
That's how it felt, too. It has to be super quiet.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be quiet. Dude,
so you guys have seen out there, like, I have, like, a rocking chair set up with a lamp. Like, first thing in the morning, still, like, I wake up at 5.
Oh, you still do that?
Yeah, bro. Damn. I can't, to do this book club podcast, like, to read the way that I want to read, like, I wake up at 5 a.m. I sometimes play on my phone. Every day I play on my phone. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'm not.
What do you play?
It's just Instagram. Just scroll on Instagram. So just until I'm like awake. 100%. No disagreeing.
I put the timer thing that you mentioned like on the Instagram app and stuff. So like it'll tell me like when I'm scrolling like, oh, 10 minutes. And I'm like, and it makes me feel like, all right, let me get out of this shit.
Exactly. Well, I'm just burning through time. Bro, an hour feels like 10 minutes on Instagram.
And then,
it does.
And then,
it's insane.
And those then fucking people are smart, bro.
Bro, way smarter than me,
they
bro.
Get you, bro. They know what attracts you, bro.
And then when it has like the 1 hour Blue mark, ocean. Like that's my daily limit. And when I opened it up to set that shit, I didn't know like how much time I was actually spending on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
for like 4 hours a day, you didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
And they're like robbing you of 4 hours a day.
Yeah. So I was
for free for you, but they make money off of you.
Yeah. And I'm like, god damn, I really spent this much time. And it was like hard. I'm like, I did not spend that much time. I'm trying to like deny it and shit.
Once I set that timer, it'd be like 7 a.m. and it's like 5 minutes left. I was like, damn. What?
Yeah.
I was like, I got the whole day. Like, I can't go on Instagram for 5 more minutes the rest of the day. I was like, shit.
My Instagram usage start, it's kind of crazy because my shit's all empty until it hits Saturday night and Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, bro. Like, that shit goes up. Like, in 1 week and those 2 days alone, I could do, like, I could do like 8 hours, bro.
It's I know, bro.
Eight hours, and just those 2 days, because during the week I hardly get on Instagram.
See, I'm the opposite.
I'll post
though.
Something, but
I'm the opposite now because I work from home and and you know between like what I do, we won't get into that, but just with what I do, like sometimes I'll just be playing on my phone.
Yeah.
And like Monday through Friday is I play way more. Like I haven't been on Instagram since like early this morning.
Yeah.
Because I just haven't had time. I've been up and busy and driving and doing things, but so as far as the reading of this book goes, like I have to be in the quiet, like dark, quiet. I have my light. I have my coffee, bro. I'm just sitting there. I'm just sipping on coffee and I'm reading, bro. It's first of all, like that's what retirement feels like to me is just chilling with a good book. You know what I mean? Like
we should get into golf, all of us. I've been wanting to get into golf for fucking like bro, 2 years already, bro.
I don't
bro.
Need another problem like that, bro. I don't need another addiction.
I already have the golf clubs in my cart.
In the cart? You're going to do it too?
I've been wanting to do it. Let's fucking do it.
We gotta set something up.
I'm competitive though. That's
me
the thing.
Too.
No, you're not.
I am.
No, you're not.
I am. When it's something I want, I will.
No.
Yeah.
You won't beat me.
Yeah, I will, bro. I will. I'm competitive when it comes to things I really like.
I'll go with you. I'd love to go play golf with you guys.
Top Golf tomorrow.
I can't do it tomorrow.
Oh, but I'm going to the casino.
No, excuses.
Cheesy people. This is slipping away from me. But no, so that's how I read in the mornings. But like, dude, talking about the discipline side of it, like I have to, like, I try to not miss a day
reading. Yeah.
Because like, I literally, sometimes I pick it up, I'll read one page.
Yeah, that first page is the hardest.
Yeah, I'm telling you, bro. My goal is to read one page every day. Sometimes I can read 20 minutes worth of one page. Sometimes, you know what I mean?
Like, if I can get past to like the third page, it's like, all right, I'm in here. I'm not going to waste any time. I already spent like fucking 6-8 minutes fucking reading 3 pages. I'm like, come on, man. Like, all right, I set my timer on or something like that. What did that make me do? Because it was just the hardcover?
Mm-hmm.
It was
because
like,
I mean 2 months ago you had no time to read
and then now it's like, was I having no time to read or was it because I was making excuses?
I think as men we are busy all the time and sometimes what we're busy with is for no reason.
Yeah So a lot of time I was spending like,
speaking from experience, not talking about you guys too. But there was one point in my life I was checking the mail every day like an old fucking person, bro. Like, I'm not going to get anything in the mail, bro. Why am I checking it every day? Taking 5 to 10 minutes to check the mail every day? Why?
I feel like every guy has their own things they do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because, like how I was just telling Juan right now, like, I'm competitive when it comes to shit I like.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't give a fuck about it, then I honestly won't give it no mind, you know?
Right.
Like, go ahead, be the best. You know, I can care less about that category. Mm-hmm. But every guy has their thing. Like, Juan likes to go to the gym. He likes to take his walks, which is good. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You like to do jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
And you still cook?
Yeah.
Well, me, I like to cook, like, a lot now. Yeah. That's, like, my shit. Like, I love cooking, bro. Every weekend I cook. Nice. So that's really something I've been doing right now. But every guy has their thing, though.
Bro, my phone's been dry, dude. No, he's not called us once to be like, hey, bro, I made some food for you. No, once,
just with
bro.
The family, bro. I've been with my family a lot, bro.
Oh, that's where we're at, bro.
That's another thing.
Shitheads, bro.
Whatever.
Nah, just family, bro. Like, recently, I just been, like, super just stuck on my family. Like, like, that's something I really, like, take into, I guess, my hobby now. Just be with family. Yeah. That's really what I do.
Bro,
I got a new hobby now. I got a new hobby.
Uh-oh.
I'm creating fucking monsters now. So with my brother's Poncho's first rec game last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, he has cleats, you know, and like my mom's showing me videos of him like kicking the ball around for his rec practice and stuff.
We're talking about soccer, right?
Yeah.
I know it. I'm just making sure anybody listening knows it.
But the thing is, like, Poncho's kind of like tall, but like lanky for his age. But
he is pretty lengthy.
He's lengthy. Yeah. He can fucking run, I'll tell you that. Like,
he's pretty lengthy.
So what's it called? I always get like, my parents are always like, bro, that's like little you. And I was like, huh. And I was like, okay. I'm like, what's Poncho doing? He's like, oh, his first rec game was Saturday. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go watch it. It's fucking sprinkling, right? And I see Poncho in goal. And I was like, Poncho, why the fuck you goalie? He's like, I don't know. Coach put me here or something. This dude was in the field and goal, and they scored like 3 goals on him. Like, bro, like,
terrible goalie.
He was like, I'm good at practice. I'm like, yeah, no shit. Your goals are like this fucking big.
Yeah.
And, you know, they take him out, and I was like, oh, damn. And I was like, you know, I'm here in the rain watching my brother play, and he's on the bench, and I'm like, I'm seeing how he acts like on the bench and stuff, and he's just kind of like sitting there. And it's like one of those rec teams where like the parents really want to win and shit.
Yeah. So that's when it gets like,
And I'm like, why, man? It's just wrecked.
You know what I noticed, bro? I went to go watch a game, and like these parents like really be like, yeah, fucking mad, bro.
Bro, they be mad as fuck. And I'm like, yo, yeah, it's just fucking wrecked.
And you could be cheering. Like, let's say like
those people just got done reading the David Goggins book, bro. Bro,
let's just say like my little brother like ends up juking like somebody, and you cheer for him like, hell yeah. Somebody would be like, fuck, like shut the fuck up, like
no,
like,
what the fuck? See, this is why I think it's important we know jiu-jitsu, bro, because yeah, I would choke that motherfucking parent. No, talk to me like that, and I'm just
it gets so worse because I used to like do the repping there, and like in high school or something, I used to rep. You don't get paid shit, but
$15 an hour or $50 a game, right?
No, it's not even that, bro. Like I remember I was there for hours, and like the check come, like
free cheese sticks.
Bro, it was like $30 or something like that, and I was like, yo, like this shit sucks.
I'm about to pick my favorite team to win, bro.
But what's it called? I'm seeing my brother play, and I'm like, okay, and they take him out. I'm like, bro, where they
still gamble too.
I'm like, damn, when are they gonna fucking put this kid back in? That's my other hobby. And then it's second half. Poncho goes out. He's only in there for like 5 minutes. They take him out. He didn't play the whole game. And I was like, this kid fucking, like, is he that fucking bad? Like, I didn't want to believe it because, you know, I played. I mean, I used to suck or something like that, too. And then my brother played, like, at academy level, like Clearwater, where every kid there has to pay, like, $3,000 just to play for it. Like, yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. And my parents, like, invested heavenly in our, like, soccer past. But it's more of just for us to be more like, hey, like, you're not doing shit at the house. Like, go do something.
Yeah.
So it's either roofing or soccer. So Mexican-ass shit, balls, right? Yeah. So, like, you know.
Mexican-ass shit.
Yeah. So then it's like my brother's playing soccer, and we were both good. And then my sister Emily started playing. I was coaching her, and she became really fucking good. Like,
so you're into the coaching era.
Yeah, and I didn't. And I wanted, like, for the longest, like, I just wanted to coach a team. But the main thing wasn't to coach a team. It was to coach my little brother, Poncho. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after seeing him play for, like, only 10 minutes, I go to my mom, like, Mom, like, my mom's just chilling there, and like, under her umbrella because it was hot. And she was like, well, what are you going to – well, he does remind me of you. Like, bro, I used to not play in rec. I used to not play, like, in competitive and shit like that. In my first year, bro, I sucked. And I was like, all right. Hey, Poncho, bro, I was just mad. I don't know why. I'm like, bro, this kid's – I felt like a dad at that point. So I was like, hey, man, we're going to start practice right now. So get to the house and practicing the ball or something like that. And like, you know what? Tomorrow, we're going to go out and train. And then Lily's there, too. And then I didn't know how much it inspires, like, your younger siblings and stuff. Because the age difference between me and my siblings is, like 25 years. No, 26 years.
You're playing with two-year-olds,
bro? I have a brother named Poncho that's 2 years old.
Oh, he's two?
No, I have Pablo is 2 years old.
Oh.
Lily is five, and Poncho is nine.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, damn, like, these... Poncho, you need fucking work, and this kid can't pass, he can't kick for shit, and I'm like...
Yeah, I think you beat me in being Mexican. I forgot you got like seven brothers and sisters.
Yeah, fucking one.
You said to be a Mexican thing, you said you beat him?
Yeah, he beats me. Fuck that. I only got one brother.
Dude, that's white as fuck, dude. Having one sibling, dude, that's white people.
That's white people, bro. Shit. It is. So now, like, on my...
I'm over here just thinking, like... This nigga is Mexican.
I never seen it.
I didn't see between the lines. But these suntan lines are
that's really the one.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one line I was looking at. that black neck.
Bro, look at this. Look at this shit. Soccer necklace. Bam. Shit. But like,
now, I got my rosary tatted on me. I don't know that. That's pretty Mexican. That's pretty
Mexican. I need an eagle or Aztec warrior or some shit. But
bro,
now,
coaching's
now my like
new thing. Hobby. Yeah. Yeah. No.
But coaching only. My siblings. I don't want to coach other kids.
Not yet. I'm sure that's coming. So as far as the book goes, what were your biggest takeaways from the book? Like, what are you guys planning on, like, using from this? Because that's the thing for me was the strategy canvas, those graphs where you actually, like, look at the area you're competing in and you look at basically what do people want?
I made one already.
Yeah. Bro, it's good, right? The strategy canvas is, like, amazing where they talk about, like, like when they like graph like the wines, right? They're like, okay, the expensive ass wines are all up here, mm-hmm. like on the graph. They're at the very top. And then the cheaper ones, they're still like, they do some things really good, but like what really people care about, they do terribly.
Yeah.
And
usually the cheaper ones is usually the price. Like, people usually choose the cheaper like liquors for the price wise.
Right, right, right.
Just like anything else, like,
right.
Like I can choose the really good one for taste and I don't care about the price. Or I can go midway and like the price is all right, but the taste is there too.
Yeah.
Or you go super cheap. I don't care about the taste. I just want
to
get.
But even in the book, it talks about like don't be like Mercedes, where they just decided to be on the upper end of something. It's like actually innovate, actually do something. Like because whether what they're talking about there is you want to provide exceptional value, mm-hmm. And then also they talked about like you're going to have Red Ocean stuff too. And that
it's those inevitable are, for the type of Red Ocean.
They said Red Ocean stuff is what generates revenue.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily do the best profit, but no. it does good revenue.
Yeah. It does like revenue for constant money flow. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want too. You need some type of Red Ocean. Right. And that's what I got from the book. That was my takeaway.
Right.
So you kind of need some form of Red Ocean if you want a bigger company.
Bro, I viewed it like a stair stepping thing, right? So it's like Blue Ocean, boom. Okay, now we got that one set up. It's like, okay, now it starts to become red, and it's like new blue one. And it's like, it just you keep doing that, and mm-hmm. you're building on that layer.
Yeah.
It's not like abandon one thing. It's like you keep that. If it's making you money, keep doing it.
The way I looked at it is the Blue Ocean is the foundation. Like that, you need a strong foundation, which is the first Blue Ocean. If you're about to start a company, you need a Blue Ocean top number one thing that's going to set you apart from everybody.
Yep.
So boom, you got your foundation. You got a strong-ass foundation. After that, you can add some Red Ocean qualities, but then you want to add, and in between those
competitors are coming, bro.
Yeah.
As soon as you innovate, competitors are going to see that you're making money and making waves, and they're coming after you.
And then that's what you use. Once another competitor comes in, then you can see what they're doing
mm-hmm.
and add those qualities too, or and separate then, those qualities and add
your own. you just re-innovate. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have to, and that, like one thing they talk about in the book as far as an example goes is they talk about like places that started with a Blue Ocean strategy, it went red, and then it just went like face dive.
Yeah.
Like they just, the business fizzles out.
Died.
Like they didn't create new demand. That's one of the things they talk about in this too, is like, look at your non-customers. Why are the people who aren't spending money there and don't like spend money in your business, why is it kind of thing like that? And they talk about like the different levels of customers and like different consumers. It's very detailed.
It's very detailed.
Yeah, with that, it actually made me see the Blue Oceans and Red Oceans in the roofing industry. So when people get like their contractor's license, that's what I'm still working for. But hey, it's getting fucking close. And I'm getting excited for it because I'm just having to knock out these books. Then I go take the exam. But a lot of times when I'm thinking, when I'm like tearing off at work, I'm like, bro, it's fucking early. I'm fucking tired. But here I am fucking roofing and shit. I know everything there is about this shit. And I'm like, but, you know, that doesn't stop us from getting our own jobs. So when we're getting our own job where like the homeowner pulls like the permit and shit mm-hmm. and it cuts out like the contractor's price. That right there, it already makes me feel like, all right, this is how much funds I'm actually going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times with these roofing companies, they tend to fail because they get a bunch of jobs, but they can't deliver on those jobs, or they can't, like, oh, you promised us you were going to do our job on a month ago. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, we're getting to it. We're just really busy. But they just don't know the trade. So a lot of times they'll hire, like, the guys at Home Depot or whatever, they'll look for somebody that can do a roof.
Yeah.
Or like a Mexican that can do a roof. And then there's like a language barrier there. Yeah. So the thing that sets me and my brother apart from a bunch of other roofing industry companies is like, bro, we speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're about to do your roof. Oh, who do I contact? Like, I'm not like, bro, we're going to be on your roof. Like, I may, you know, go do some sales and stuff, but. Mm-hmm. My brother's here too. Like, you can talk to him.
I mean, that's what you really have to look at in the industry mm-hmm. is like that strategy canvas. Going back to that, it's like, what is the normal in this industry? And it's like, mm-hmm. boom, 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 boom. And it's like, okay, so how can we either do what they're doing and do it better at a cheaper price?
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about like innovation and like, okay, because we want to. Like, we want to do a better job for the people that are spending their money. We want them to feel even better about spending their money. And mm-hmm. on top of that, we want them to spend less money doing it. Because then that's even better. Like, if you can get, if I came to you for a haircut, Adrian, mm-hmm. you're, what is it, like $40 to get a haircut now?
Mm-hmm.
But if I came to you and you said, actually, I can cut your hair for $10 and it's going to be a better haircut, I'd be like, bro,
yeah,
I want four haircuts right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? I'm just using that example. Yeah, don't drop your prices, please.
Don't drop
your prices. You're already too busy, bro. You're already too busy. But no, I'm like, just that kind of concept is like, but they talk about how you have to sometimes, like they mentioned the Model T with Ford, yep, right? Ford. And they talked about how he wasn't the first person to make cars, mm-hmm. but cars were only to rich people at that point. Mm-hmm. Nobody could afford, an average person could not afford cars at that point.
He made the Model T affordable.
Right, but he didn't redesign the car. He made the car simpler and then like perfected manufacturing so that way he could reduce the cost to produce it. Once you reduce the cost to produce it, mm-hmm. now everyone can buy this thing. Is it as nice of a quality as the ones at that time were? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, but it offered so many better benefits. Mm-hmm. So yep. I like that example a lot, too. I thought that was a huge takeaway. It's like
that was a badass takeaway right there, too.
Yeah, well, because it's not about just innovating. It's innovating for a better price. You have to price innovate, too.
And people love simple, bro. If it's cheap and simple, people love it, bro. Well,
it's got to solve a problem. It's got to solve a problem. That's
it. It's like a haircut, too. Some people were like, oh, well, they show me a pic and it's a crazy-ass fucking haircut.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it won't really look good with that. But this is probably more your head shape, more you, you know? I'll do it. It's a simple haircut and they fucking love it.
Yeah.
But I lost my train of thought. I know it was about roofing. Oh, yeah, the whole price thing, right? When I'm looking at like quotes from other roofing companies, like, oh, this is how much a plywood is if this is damaged on your house or something, it's like 100 and something. And I'm like, for OSB plywood? Like, OSB plywood's like $20.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm the one going to Home Depot and get all this stuff. And then when we go replace it on a roof or something, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do it for $100 like your other guys. You know, this isn't really that hard for me or my brother or any guy on my crew. So, a good 50, you know.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, wow. Like, how many plywoods did I have? I'm like, you had about 20. And they're like, 20, you know, times 20. And they're like, oh, $400 on plywood? I'm like, yeah. And that's with the,
you putting know, it on there.
Yeah. Well, not so much on there, you know, because it's 50 times 20. So.
I'm saying, like, you, it, built into that cost is the cost of you actually putting it on their roof.
Yeah, and they see it. So, like, when we'll talk to customers, like, me and my brother will be like, hey, like, we're actually about to go get wood right now. These are the photos of, like, where it's rotting on your roof. You know, we're going to redeck the house. We're going to put the permit number, everything like that. Mm-hmm. You're going to be taken care of. We number the plywoods, take photos, send them an email and everything. And it's like, the customer now has, like, oh, okay, this is how much, like, it was to repair my roof. And do the roof and like, oh damn, like this is how much bad wood it was. Mm-hmm. They look at the price and like, yeah, that's reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. And you know, with other plywoods, the more expensive it is, you know, like to buy per unit. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I'm really trying to get more into is like invoices and stuff. I know that Square, like the app Square has it. I'm just having trouble logging in on some of the things, but
you're basically assessing everything right now to try and figure out how you can apply the Blue Ocean Strategy stuff to it.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think my big red ocean is just me being distracted a lot. I know I have a lot going on, and I tend to like avoid those responsibilities that I need to do right away. But and I used to do that with strolling, you know, scrolling on Instagram.
So easy,
and it's so easy. So like easy. Hours pass by, it's dark, and you tell yourself, "Oh, I'm gonna do it tomorrow." Yeah. And then tomorrow comes and, you know, it's more time that you have to invest. So now
social media is one thing I've learned growing up is just dude, that shit's a trap. I did you hear that they just made it or they're trying to make it illegal for 14 year olds?
Yeah. I thought they did already.
Yeah, they might have. I don't know. Yeah. I just heard about it the other day. What do you guys think about that?
They can't stop it, bro. You can make a fake birthday.
That's 100% true. Yeah. But do you think in theory, is it good for, like, if you're under the age of 14, like, not being on social media? You think that's a good thing?
I think social media should be done with altogether.
Yeah, fair.
Well,
so I think that it is good that they're not allowing 14-year-olds to be on it, like, because I think it's terrible for kids' social skills.
If you really think about it, bro, Instagram is a whole blue ocean, and that shit's never going to
I mean, there's TikTok, Instagram. I mean,
but those are all different.
Yeah, I mean, but there's no blue ocean strategy for social media right now for a small company. You know what I mean?
I think
if we wanted to start a social media, like, we got a big fucking task. You know what I mean?
I think a lot of times it comes down to like the competition part. It's like, oh, I'm trying to get more views. I'm trying to get more likes and shit like that. But then you start like being somebody that you're not, and you're kind of pulling your way from the vision that you used to have, mm-hmm. and then it's really not. In theory, it's not going to be really much of your business because you're not trying to do it for yourself. You're trying to please others so you can be recognized by them.
Thank goodness we were 14 when social media came out. You know what I mean? Like, we had already socialized at that point. So, like, we could do, I don't know about you guys, but I could do without social media. I don't, but I could. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've known life without social media. Yeah. And I think there's a point where, like, if a kid gets social media too young, like, that could be detrimental to their to them. I don't know how. I don't obviously run that social experiment, but... Mm. I don't know. It's interesting.
I think it does ruin their social skills too. Cause like again, like my brother, my brother Pancho, who's 9, all he does is just play Roblox or some shit.
Yeah, Roblox.
And he'll be playing that shit for hours. And now is that like my brother's fault? Like, no.
They're building that thing so that he stays.
So, my parents are more like just go to your room, or like they're not, you know, sure, they're not as active as they used to be with like me and my brother, because you know they have these distractions.
Didn't get a phone until I was in 9th grade.
Yeah,
so I was in 6th grade,
10th grade.
But the phones were way different when I got my first phone.
I had the Sidekick.
Bro, I had the Sidekick for my second.
I had the construction Nextel phone that would beep in class.
It's time to come do a roof one.
No, it was because my dad.
My dad's favorite phone, bro. It was the Nextel walkie-talkie.
Bro, that shit was badass.
Yeah, bro. Do you remember that?
They still have that.
Yeah, but, like, they brought it out again.
Yeah, that shit's brought badass. It out again.
Bro, you'd be like just walking through the supermarket and you hear somebody's like friend start talking
to him.
Like, dude, chill, bro. Take a breather.
They honestly need to do that for the iPhone, but.
I mean, they kind of do. They have the voice thing. It's just
a different process.
Like when you text a voice text message.
It's because the Nextel one, bro, it literally goes broop, and then it tells you what they're saying
without even
opening your phone. So I thought that was crazy.
Yeah.
It's like a walkie-talkie, bro. Like literally like a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, but could you imagine if someone sends you some
crazy shit.
Fucked up shit in the grocery store? Just it's like, hey, yo.
Yeah. I think that's why they did away with it.
Someone says some really racist shit. Like, he texts it to you, and you're like,
and that's kind of why I was like,
yeah,
That's why I know why I was like, it is kind of bad for kids, because I'm like, damn, like my fucking brother has no social skills or something at all. I'm like, bro, have some fucking confidence in yourself or something.
Yeah, bro, it's crazy.
Think about it, I mean, it gives you a push to grow more.
Yeah.
Less people being competitive in business if they're just stuck on fucking
social media.
Yeah, if you honestly think about it.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It's interesting because, like, I don't know. I'm conflicted. I could lean either way on whether it's good or not. Because, like, in one instance, I'm like, I don't want the government telling me what to fucking do with my kids. Yeah. But in the same instance, too, like, I feel like too many people aren't being proactive parents. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, damn, like, man, my mom and dad used to be like, hey, go to work. You're going to work with your dad. And I'm fucking 10 years old. I'm like, the fuck? Like, it's hot as shit. But, you know, that was just the thing. And now it's like my brother, I'll be telling my dad, like, hey, I think it's time for him to start going on the roof. And they're all like, nah, you know, he can.
Your dad, like, you got soft, bitch.
Like, yeah. I'll be telling him that, like, where's the dad I used to know? Where's the belt? Oh, I don't hit my kids anymore. Like, but you whoop my ass.
Yeah.
It was a different time, bro.
Yeah, like their punishment now is like turning off the Wi-Fi or taking their tablets away. And they think like it's the end of the world or some shit.
I'm
like,
my dad still hits me, bro, to this day.
Like, you deserve it.
No. I got slapped back in the head like not like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you deserve it.
I think now.
What'd you do this time? What'd you do? Did you fuck up?
What did I do? Oh, I made a bet of $1,000 and he got mad at me.
No.
he saw, I guess he was behind me and he saw me click the bet. Yeah, and he didn't like that because he hates when I gamble like that.
He don't
understand it though. You know, my dad don't understand that.
Different things too. Like he migrated here, right? Like he wasn't born here. Yeah. No. So like when he came here, like, it was like every dollar, every dime they could to make life happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then you're over there just like, Fuck it. I just want this team to win. And he's like, are you fucking stupid?
No, bro. I mean? He hit the... Yeah, he was mad. He was mad. But...
Did you hit the bet?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah. So, I only made $400.
Yeah, but well, you know, you could be like, "Dad, my money's back," and it made me money while you know I was gone, bro. But so it's a different mentality. Like,
it is.
If you're moving other countries and like before social media, where you couldn't really like, if you wanted to know what a country was like, you had to buy a pamphlet. You know what I mean? And like,
then again,
and
though,
then you pick up your whole family and move, bro.
I was way more riskier than both my parents, though. Like
in the business sense, yeah.
Money wise, yeah. I was always like, okay, I can make $5,000, you know, in 2 weeks. Boom, I'll spend that in something else, like to make more money.
Right.
My parents were never like that. My parents were like, oh no, $5,000. This is going straight to the bank, like, and just leave it there, you know.
Well, because like I was saying, what I was alluding to is like there's their mindset's like scarcity, like I need to be like there's just this fear because like they're worried about something going wrong, but it's just different mindsets. But they by doing what they did, right, that led you to be in the position you are to do what you've done. You know what I mean,
bro?
So it's every, just is what it is.
For me, I feel like every successful person, there's some like takeaways though. A lot of successful people got help from their parents, and a lot of them built it from nothing. Like they didn't have parents, and that's what made them drive to be successful. You know what I'm saying? But there is a lot of people that put their kids in good foundations to be successful,
and that's the job of the parent.
Yeah.
So I mean, it sucks I didn't have those type of parents, but like, hey, they were young when they had me, so
there's no rule book.
So it's like,
you figure it out.
So a lot of times I would spend like, it's crazy with these podcasts, like from the very first one, I was so angry at my dad, and then now like me and my dad have like the best relationship I've ever had with him. I don't even remember the last time I got mad with him.
Nice.
And it's just so fucking crazy.
That's awesome.
I think the thing that was mainly concerned was just money. And it got to a point where it wasn't like, and I had those moments like in life where it's like, damn, you have no money in your bank account type of shit, and you're like still trying to risk shit, because it's not because like, oh, you just hope it's gonna happen. It's like, yo, this is all you got.
This has to happen.
That's
when you're risk it the most, when you have nothing.
So I remember, when was it, like I've had like, I think I had like a bad start like last year. Bro, I felt like I was so broke or something like that. But it wasn't so much that I was, I think it was like doing the health insurance thing. That was probably like I'm not saying I regret anything, but that was probably the time where I felt like.
When you told me that you're doing that, bro, I was like, hopefully you like it, bro.
Yeah,
I just can't imagine it being fun.
And then it wasn't like, man, I just kind of wanted to hear somebody to like, I don't know, somebody be like, yo, what are you doing with your life? Until my brother was like, bro, get the fuck out of that shit. Go back to roofing, man. Like, you have to finish what you started, shit like that. So I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's why me and my dad were always so angry with each other, because he felt like I was doing things like being selfish and shit, and he wanted like his thing. But now we're at a point where we're on the roof. I'll be like, oh, it's hot. I'll be like, look, man, just go pick up trash. Like, like you don't got to be on the roof. And it's like, oh, like with money now, it's like, you know, money's good. But it's not a factor. Like, blessed to say, hey, it's not a factor anymore. It's like, I don't have to worry about putting money in savings. I don't have to. My bills are paid. Life's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with working.
Bro, at the end of the fucking day.
Yeah.
Like, we can do this podcast for as many episodes as you guys want to do, read as many books. At the end of the day, is like, if your bills are paid and you're enjoying your life, I mean, what else do you want, bro?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need more money. It would be nice to have more money so I could do the things I already want to do anyways that I'm working on. But, like, past that, bro, like, as long as you're enjoying your fucking life, bro.
Yeah. And it's all up to you, what you want to do, bro.
I'd be spending.
You have to figure it out. That's the hard part.
Yeah. And you just have to go through with it, too. It's like, bro, I'd be like, nobody wants to wake up early sometimes after like working a long ass day. Like, bro, my body's tired, especially doing these construction jobs. It's like, oh, I gotta run miles, oh, I gotta go hit the gym, oh, I gotta do coaching, gotta do school, gotta do bartending, gotta do hauling, gotta do all these things. It's like, okay, you know you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna stroll on Instagram and just waste time and those responsibilities?
Feels so nice to do that too.
And then now it's like catching up. Yeah. Like, oh, my house is clean. My house isn't clean. Fuck. Like, you're stressing out. You come home after a long day and your fucking dog just shit on the dog pad, but fucking missed. And I'm like, damn, like shit. I'm like, Sky, yo, you have a target right here, bro. Like, you were 10 for 10 last week, and now you missed one. Like, come on, man. And now it's like, I just be spending more time with my family now.
Same, bro.
So
I don't think I've been stressing in a minute.
I ain't even stressing. So it's like,
Bro, as crazy as it sounds, like, I've been, like, dialing it back from the podcast because of, like, it's just been, like, it felt like the point where I was just working to work on the podcast, and I was like, I need to just, like, do it, just chill out for a little bit.
You always need your breaks, though, man. Yeah. Like,
I vacation from regular work. How come I can't vacation from the podcast?
Yeah, you know, bro. It's so, life, man. Like, can't let it pass by. Right. And that's why I say stay with family a lot, bro. You just never know when the last time you're going to be with family. That's why I be with my brother a lot. I don't go out hardly anymore. Like, I never go out, bro. Like,
are you still not drinking?
I haven't drank in 3 weeks. I do it moderately now. Yeah. The furthest I ever not drank was 2 months and 2 weeks.
Nope.
Yeah.
I haven't drinking. I don't know how long. In 2 weeks. Because I actually want to stop drinking. I stopped counting it. I'm just kidding. I haven't had a drink in a long time, bro. I just don't. It's not as fun anymore, bro.
I don't really like it like that no more. I smoke a lot.
I just drink to relax now. Dude, I'm not drinking to impress or anything.
Like, if you guys wanted to go to a bar and we're like, hey, Ryan, let's go. Like, we're just gonna hang out.
I'd be down.
I'd go have a beer. But
as long as we play pool. Shit, yeah, I'm down.
We should do that. We should plan the next podcast to do that.
I'm still undefeated.
Yeah. Y'all down then? Next I'm the podcast, best. We'll go to
fucking know it.
Y'all down to do that? This next podcast, we'll do the podcast, and then afterwards we'll go get beers.
I'm down. Hell yeah. I don't drink beer though.
We gotta go to
what's wrong with you, dude?
He thinks he's Mexican?
I thought there was three, bro. Bro, he got you dead to rights now, bro.
How? All I drink is tequila.
I mean, yeah, but
that's the most Mexican thing you can.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying. I've just never met a Hispanic person that don't like beer.
There's a lot of them, bro.
I'm just saying. Yeah, you would know.
There's a lot of people that don't like beer.
No, I'm believing
that charge.
You're leading that charge, bro.
Nah, bro. But I really don't. I don't drink like that no more. I don't even like it no more.
It's just like, bro, I think we're at that age. I'm like we're like right at that age where it's like it hurts more to drink, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wake up the next day and I'm just like fuck, like I'm sluggish. Like, I can't wake up as early. Like, I can't eat right. You just feel sluggish. Yeah. Yeah.
For me, the realization, bro, I went to go to Patty's one time just to go watch a game I was betting on. And then I seen like 6 people I knew and they were all fucked up. And then
I was like, oh, this is where I'm going.
No, they were all fucked up. And this is what made me do that, stop drinking. They're all fucked up, but those 6 people were all in the same place since I've known them, bro.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they do every fucking weekend.
Yeah.
Every fucking day after work. Yeah, bro. And that's when I was just like, bro, like,
nothing.
I was really doing that, and I wasn't focusing on more important things, like my family, the business. Like, now since I stopped drinking, bro, I have so much shit that I'm doing on the side that I don't really post because I don't really post like that on Instagram like that no more. But that shit's made me have so much more time. Instead of going to the bar or looking for that, or just going out in general, bro.
I have so much time to do that. I'm just
kidding. That next buzz.
Exactly, really. That's what it is.
So bro. I just canceled drinking to do more things. And, bro, I've been having so much fun, bro. Like, it's
fun every now and then, though, still do it, though.
Oh, bro, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, bro.
To relax and have, a fucking couple of beers.
I went to Houston 2 weeks ago, and I got drunk as fuck. Yeah. But it was with my family.
You're on vacation.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I mean? You're in, that's when you should really, kick back and enjoy yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's the whole point of going on vacation, is to just relax and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I literally drank every day I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
just enjoy.
Bro, my honeymoon was like that. When we were on the honeymoon, bro, your boy was drinking.
Yep.
It was fun. I didn't have to drive, no.
Oh, yeah, bro, definitely.
So I'm probably going to go drinking tonight.
So, Adrian, in the moment. You don't have a book picked out yet for the next book?
I don't yet, bro. Okay. But I'll send me the list that you have because I really like this book. So
okay.
I'm going to see if I find something on the list that you have, or I'll just look around. Well, that book that you showed me earlier.
Small Giants.
Yeah, I'm gonna read it a little bit more because I was like, well, this kind of goes into that.
Yeah,
it would be a good transition from this book to that book.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff I want, bro. I want to read more. I like business books, but we can do philosophy too. But I want to read. I want to read historical business books. Isn't that crazy?
I think I wouldn't like that. I'll get bored.
I don't know. I like hearing how big businesses became big. Like, I read one about Coca-Cola, bro.
Coca-Cola's crazy.
Yeah, they put Coke.
Crazy.
Coca-Cola's crazy, bro. Yeah.
Cocaine.
It's
Coke.
That cocaine. All right. Yeah. Okay. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Great book. Adrian says 10. Juan says 7. I give it a 7.5. I think this is this is one of those books you're going to have to,
You're going to have to
read. Out of all the books we've read, thankfully, the two that I've picked have been ones that you should reread. But, you know, it's whatever. It's whatever. It's whatever. I don't brag about it or nothing. But, no, I'm just... I definitely think business-wise, this one is a great one to reread because, like, you have to keep this fresh in your mind so that, that way you can continue to be searching for that.
No, yeah. This book, bro. I'm gonna go ahead and read this bitch again.
Yeah. It's good stuff, bro.
Yeah, so, I liked it a lot. It should get here next week.
Nice.
My book.
Well, now that we're done, since me and him read the book, no, I'm
just you can borrow now that we're done.
All right, thank you guys for doing this. Yeah, no problem, we'll post the next book. We'll figure that out. So, all right, see you.
This episode of Somehow We're Adults is over, but if you'd like to support the podcast, you can subscribe to one of the levels of the Patreon, where we will release bonus episodes that can't be found anywhere else. Any of the money that we get from the Patreon would be used to upgrade old equipment as well as get new gear so that we can make the best podcast for you to tune into. You can also follow the podcast Instagram at Somehow We're Adults, where I share clips and content about the podcast, and the link in the bio will take you to any of the Somehow We're Adults pages. I encourage you to check out another one of the episodes if this is your first time listening, and if you're a repeat listener, thank you for your support. I love making the podcast, and I hope you tune in for future episodes of Somehow We're Adults.